Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you, my friend?
Good. All back in all the normal places I'm supposed to be.
Good.
Ready for 2 hours of home improvement fantasy. Well, sometimes home improvement around our house is a fantasy. I'm sitting in a mess to prove that. Everything's good, though. Trust you guys did fine with our HVAC partners last week.
We did. You know, sometimes you do a show, you know how everything just flows off your tongue and it just works great. That didn't happen.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's all good. We're glad you're back, man.
I'm glad to be back. Look, we got lots to do. Didn't get our little – we're like two old – well, I can't say that. We're like two old people because we are. Miss my call this morning.
We're old now?
Yeah, we are officially. I thought about that. I did, you know, my prayer chair time this morning, and I'm like, holy Christmas. I was comparing – I got a message, you know, that my brother-in-law – has officially retired. And then after the waves of jealousy passed, I was like, well, wait a minute. How much older is he than me? Not that much. So, but yeah, we're old, but it's okay.
When does the wisdom start kicking in? That's what I've been waiting for a long time.
I don't know. Don't wait on that. Go trust your gut. Speaking of trusting your gut, I don't have a relevant comment for that. So let's talk about what we can talk about this morning. We first love it when you all talk, so give us a call at 704-570-1110. Then we have a quick formula for cold fusion that we'd share with you guys, and we'll see what you think on that. It's been a long time coming. We'll go for it.
Right.
All right. So, no, we're not. We're going to talk about paint for sure this morning. Paint. Like, well, how tricky is that? It's not tricky unless, well, there's a couple nuances that we'll give to it. I want to talk about interior and exterior, but I want to talk specifically about dealing with mold, you know, before, during, after paint, because we've had beautiful weather. I presume you guys are same, sleeping with the windows open, haven't had the air conditioning on.
I haven't put my screens in, so we haven't done that. And we're still pretty much pollen covered, so no, we haven't.
Well, the other thing we want to talk about in painting is what we're going to call hues of yellow. And we're doing a whole new book, AskJohnAndDave.com, and it's going to be design, and it's a color palette that kind of cycles through the year. It's got some yellow hues for the spring, so you can open the windows and let all that garbage in, and it still blends with the decor. We're going to do the mildew-esque, color palette, and that kind of has some grays to it, and grays are in. So we can talk about that, too, if you want. But the weather is good, but we're headed, you know, once our 6 to 10 days of spring are done, we'll be into the, you know, the hot, humid stuff, and there's mold issues, so we'll deal with that.
Make sure you clarify that we really aren't writing a book, because...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. We're not... That was a joke.
Good. Thank you, because I get a bunch of emails saying, when can we get the book? Where can we buy it?
So, look, people, if you've been listening for 26-plus years, and you think the two of us are going to crank out a book, you haven't been paying attention. That's not true. We could do that in our spare time. Why we talk about paint, I want to talk about caulking and where to caulk and perhaps where not to caulk. If we have a minute, as I was thinking about painting and mold and mildew, I was thinking about my neighbor who's getting ready to sell his house after like almost 40 years in that house. And we were kind of going through some stuff he's got to get done. And dealing with mildew in the master bath was one of the things that we talked about. So we'll talk a little bit about how you can do some repainting and position yourself for the minimum amount of mildew. And then we've got a couple of cool products from the Home Depot that I want to talk about. And they fit right in with our spring thing, so to speak. And then, David, we haven't done this in a few weeks, but I've got our tip of the week from April 19th of 2016, and we're going to say yay or nay. Would we still give that advice?
All right.
And just to keep people in suspense, I'm going to suggest that we might have changed our opinion since we opined on this particular topic.
Good.
And I think that should keep us in or out of trouble for the next 2 hours. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think we... Nah, never mind.
What? What?
We stay in trouble.
You know what? I think friction is an important thing. I used to teach this. I still teach it as a leader with a group. Friction is not to be avoided. You just got to deal with it correctly. Imagine trying to steer a car with no friction. They call that an ice storm. Not good.
Right.
All right. So we got to take a break because philosophy is not a strong suit for us. We'll be back to answer home improvement questions. Get your questions ready. Grab a cup of coffee. Hang with us for the next couple hours. 704-570-1110. You can always go to AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button. Ask about our new book and send a question that way. We'll take a break and be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is Home Improvement with John and Dave, or the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, John and Dave. Either way, we're here, we're back, and I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And lines are available at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Want to hear what's on your mind this week? I guess everybody's back from spring break now, right? Was that the big week? Was last week?
I don't know.
What the heck?
I didn't get any spring break. What's that?
Something broke during the spring. Mm-hmm. I was out. You know how ice will build up in the bottom of your freezer over, you know, when something goes wrong? And what goes wrong is the little drain line is plugged.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent Tuesday night with Barb's hair dryer and rags and God knows what, getting the ice out. Finding the little drain plug, which wasn't where I anticipated it to be. You would think it'd be at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
No.
In the low spot?
It's halfway up. Well, a third of the way up. It's a terrible design. I won't tell you the manufacturer, but there's a little pan in there that catches, you know, the water from the thaw cycle, right?
Right.
And then there's a gap of about a half of an inch between the bottom of that pan and the actual grommet that goes down into the drain plug. So it wasn't clogged with funk, which sometimes happens. And maybe that's the reason they positioned it where they did, because it really would be hard to get, you know, junk in there. I've cleaned them out where there was, you know, junk in there. But the water just kind of like hangs on the bottom of that. You know how surface tension water will hold on before it drips off? And it's cold enough, I guess, or it gets cold enough with the water hung on there that a little bit of it freezes, and then a little more freezes. And then pretty soon that darn thing is plugged right up. Now, the refrigerator is 20 years old, so maybe I should just shut up.
Oh, now we're getting to the bottom of it.
You sound like my spiritual director, yes. So really what you're saying, John. That's cool. It was there, it works. I got out the little air compressor and blew through the line just to make sure. And then, of course, that all sprays out where you don't want it to because you really hadn't thought that through. Let's talk to Tim. Paint and your book. Tim, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm doing great. First of all, I'm really proud of y'all that you can write that book.
Yeah, well,
that's going to be a good book.
It is when it finally comes out.
I heard you. When you first announced it, I was like, "Oh my God, they're going to write a book. That's going to be so great." it is going to be David.com. I was like, oh my God. That's, and then you're going to come and say, it's not true. I'm like, wow.
You know what?
A lot of people, I'm glad you said that because a lot of people probably go, you know, I have not been listening to you for 26 years.
See?
I was like, this is going to be wonderful.
David is a consummate realist. He's like, John, you know, you think this is funny, but people are going to write, and I have to answer. So, yes, Tim, thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
And thank you for the call.
I really enjoy the show. It's really, I have guys, some of my friends listen to it, too, when they're doing stuff on their home. So you can go to turn on 7 a.m., and they give you a lot of ideas because, you know, they do stuff, and I go to Home Depot anyway.
Well, thank you for that.
I really do. And for other stuff and their garden stuff and all this stuff they have. But I just thank you. They are painting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my house painted again. I'm thinking about doing it next year. So what is the best time of the year to paint a house, please, sir?
I think the temperature is the big thing for painting. I think you just want to avoid the times of year where you're going to get where the paint will not have cured before you have potential for dew, really more than anything else, right, David? I mean, humidity you can almost deal with. You don't want to be in the baking sun necessarily in 95 degrees where the paint starts drying, you know, too far ahead of you. Most everything we use anymore is latex. The labels are going to tell you between, David, I'm thinking between 65 and 85 or something like that, is, and then like 70% relative humidity is big. If you stay away from, in our climate, if you stay away from like late October and maybe from late October to late February, you're probably fine. David, what do you think? I think that the flashing that comes because of the dew or something is the biggest danger there, but I might be missing something.
Well, I think that, and then, right now I just advise people if you're painting anything that's flat during the pollen season, I would avoid this time. I mean, I don't even like to pour concrete at this time during the pollen, just because.
So we're talking the fall time of the year.
I think fall. I think spring. Best. I think May, June is good. You know, a good painter will get there early and they'll start on the west side and they'll work their way around.
Okay. But not doing this. I understand what you're saying. Now, because I was going to go ahead and get the house pressure wash.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, a couple of months after that, like you said, get it painted.
Yeah. And don't wash it too soon because you really just need a few days to in between. Usually this time of year, one day is enough for it to dry.
Okay.
So don't wait too long in between because you'll have dirt and debris settling again on the surfaces, and then you're going to have a bond breaker. Oh. So,
okay, I thanks for the advice. So that's what I do. Then I just, when I'm getting ready to get it painted, I get it pressure washed, and then I go ahead and have it painted.
Yeah, usually you're
be fresh and clean.
Right, and your painter, usually the painter will wash it.
Okay.
A lot of times the painters will be ready and they'll have the equipment and they know what to do. Because, you know, they want to get it cleaned up because, you know, if they're worth their salt, they want to have a good job when it's finished. And ideally washing it just a few days, a day or so before you paint it is ideal.
Okay, now about the caulking you were saying around, I guess a good painter would know
mm-hmm.
everything on how to caulk it and all this stuff when they get ready to paint it for the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned you said something about caulking.
Yeah, so what?
You haven't got into it yet.
What kind of siding do you have that you're painting, Tim?
It's the regular baseboard type siding.
Like
the house is 30,
okay.
30 years old.
So probably like I say Masonite is a brand name, but a hardboard siding. Does that sound
yes.
right?
Yeah, okay. I had them replaced. I had the majority of them replaced before, I guess about 7 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I had them replaced, and so now it's time to get the house painted again.
Okay, so I think you're really looking around. Anything that penetrates the surface needs caulking, but particularly sometimes you don't want to think about it this way. Around the top of the brick mold and around the brick mold, for doors and windows. If you got a dryer vent that's coming out, you want to make sure that gets caulked. an electrical box, places where one type of material comes in contact with another type of material. And then, David, it's a little bit harder to work with. And so, Tim, if your painter's doing it, they may already be doing this. They may not. I like the polyurethane.
Sometimes you need just to know yourself.
What to look for. Yep.
Just to know what they're doing also.
Yep. So,
and that's why I listen to you all.
Well, we are grateful for that. And I think the best caulk, I think, David, and you can correct me on this, in our opinion, is a polyurethane caulk, because it cures to a resilient finish, so it will expand and contract a little bit as things get hot and cold, pick up a little moisture, give off a little bit of moisture. But it's a polymer or a petroleum-based product. And so it doesn't have, soap and water cleanup like a latex caulk would. It has, you need mineral spirits or turpentine, something on that order to clean up after it. But, David, your thoughts on that?
No, that's it. And I think you just inspect it. And remember, Tim, if it's not split open, if it's not torn, the caulk in one side or the other, then it probably doesn't need to be caulked as long as it's closed. That's all you're looking for.
Okay.
Just because we don't caulk every time. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And if y'all do decide to do the book, it's going to be a bestseller. I'm sure of that.
We're going to do a virtual book signing.
A virtual book. Okay. Well, listen, y'all have a wonderful, blessed day.
All Thanks, right. Tim. You we too. Appreciate your call and your listening. Have a great one. All right. Tim goes off to get ready for painting. Great questions, great thought process. We're going to take a break here in a minute, so get your questions ready. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or as we heard, you can go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button. So we'll take a quick break, and the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will return after all of these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines are open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking home improvement. We'll talk about home improvement that makes sense or is relevant to you every time you call in. David, just quickly, as we think about, springtime, I wanted to talk about two products, and I had it written down, and I don't think we did it right before Easter there when we had that show. But you know how we've talked about timers and dimmers and things like that, that an electronic device that kind of has to run or has some functionality beyond just making a connection or closing a circuit or opening a circuit. And Lutron, and they are wizards with this whole dimmer technology. I put their Maestro dimmers in when we did our master bedroom and bath renovation several years ago, and love those things. Super sensitive, whether it's LED or regular incandescent bulbs. But they have a new product out. I think it's called the Sunmate. That's with two N's, Sunmate dimmer. And it does all the cool dimming stuff. It's super sensitive for LEDs. You know, when you set the LED, and maybe we should spend some time one day just talking about a dimmer and preparing a dimmer correctly to be used with LED lights, because mm-hmm. there's an extra step in that. But in addition to being much more sensitive with respect to LED lights, it doesn't require a neutral switch or a neutral
wire,
mm-hmm. right? So I mean, it goes in like any other simple switch would go in, but still performs. With the remote and all the different stuff. So a pretty cool device, I think. So the not requiring a neutral wire is cool or fine, but the other advantage, I think, is just the greater sensitivity with respect to LED lights, because I've got dimmers on virtually everything in our house. And no matter what you say, even when you do the, you know, the little dial inside to, you know, to keep it so that the lights don't cut off on you, or they, you know, dim it down and then leave it there and you come back in and turn it on. They don't have enough, you know,
enough juice to start
juice
it
to hit the driver and get the LED thing lit up. Right.
Right.
So, this is much more sensitive. So I'm not sure exactly what it does and its reading of the sine waves and so on, but great product. Check it out. It's the Sunmate, S-U-N-N-M-A-T-E dimmer, and that's one of our Home Depot products this week. So it's I think it's only available at the Home Depot. I'm not sure about that, though. Let's talk to Roger. Good morning, Roger, on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've got two or three questions. The first one is related to a tankless water heater. Back in, I think, 2009, 2010, I installed a gas Rinnai tankless water mm-hmm. heater.
Yeah.
And it's worked beautifully ever yes. since. And I have done zero maintenance with this thing and never had anybody come in and look at it, which worries me a little bit. I think one of these mornings I'm going to get up and not have hot water. Because I know there's an igniter, and I've heard maybe you need to flush them periodically.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes.
What can you tell me about what I need to be doing?
Well, they do need to be flushed periodically. If you're on well water, they probably need to be done at least once a year. And if your water's very hard or it's not treated through a water softener or any type of filter before the water's heated, then it probably needs to be done annually at least.
Okay.
And that's well water. Now, if you're on city water, it's not as critical. The water is relatively soft, according to the hardness chart, in municipal waters, most municipal water. So, where my brother lives in Ohio, Plumber Tim, they have a lot of lime in their water. So, he doesn't even install tankless water heaters there because they clog up so fast. And the importance of cleaning out that coil is you have to remember this, is that coil is very small, and that water, that cold water, travels through this small coil and has to be heated to the temperature, the desired temperature, in a short amount of time. So whenever you start adding hardness or lime or calcium, and it starts building up in the inside of this coil, you essentially insulate it, and you insulate the water away from the heat. So it's not near as efficient, and you probably have a little bit of buildup. But if you've gone 3 years and you're still getting hot water, you're probably in pretty good shape. But I would say, John, it's probably time to go ahead and have it serviced.
It's definitely worth the effort. The other thing I'll tell you, Roger, is like if you don't do that, like sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning. You discover that your joints get a little achy. And you can sometimes even have hair thinning issues if you don't clean them out. So you might want to jump on that.
Wow. Okay. I assume this is some kind of chemical flush that they do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. What about any parts? Like I've heard like there's an igniter. I guess this is a gas. So obviously, it ignites the gas to the water. Does that igniter fail at times?
I'm sure they do fail. So I think the question would be with the plumber that you hire to service it. Hopefully it's someone that services them regularly, and they could probably tell you after, you know, usually those guys after a number of years, they know about when a part is going to crash. So I would just ask them about that. But usually it's one of those situations that it fails and you call the plumber and you're without hot water until they get there and get it repaired. So,
I don't know what the cost of that would be, Roger, but I would bet that your plumber would have a recommendation and said, hey, maybe while we're in here for another $29.72,
right,
we should just replace the igniter. Right.
And I think that's where you would end up with that question to them and say, well, you know, they last about 4 or 5 years has been my experience. I don't know that is the case, but, you know, I'd say go ahead and change it. So,
Okay. That, yeah, I've looked on the internet and I've found somebody that specializes in Rinnai in my area, so I'll give them a call.
Yeah.
And
So they know best. They service them all the time.
Okay.
But you've chosen a good product.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, I literally, you know, I had a plumber help me put it in, but, you know, plugged the thing in, turned it on, programmed it, and have not looked at it since. It's been great. The other question, and this is one my wife wants me to ask, so it's very, very important. We have in our master bedroom, our shower is a shower stall in the corner of the bathroom. It's probably 4 or 5 foot square. The door is on the corner of it as you enter, about 2 feet wide. It's a 9 foot tall area, and the top part of it from 6 to 9 foot is drywall. Mm-hmm. And because of moisture, sometimes we've had issues with the drywall tape peeling up. Mm-hmm. We're about to have it worked on and painted, the whole bathroom area. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's a better way to ventilate that area. There is an exhaust fan right outside the shower door. So we tend to turn that on and then leave the door open for a while after we take a shower and ventilate. But it doesn't really get that dead space that's up there in the upper part. And I didn't know if there was a possibility of putting a fan actually in the shower.
Two things, and David, I think we're right up against the break here, I believe.
Yes.
So don't go away, Roger. We got some good information for you. We just got to get through this a break here real quick. Let's just go to our break. We'll be back right after these important messages. The Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And lines are open at 704-570-1110. Let's finish up with Roger, and then we may have some way to just – we may want Roger and Jim to chat. But, Roger, thanks for waiting through the break there.
No problem.
We got through the water heater piece, and you were talking about that one spot above the shower where you don't quite get the air moving, and so you have some issues with the drywall tape. Just – David, I know you did some fans, actually, I believe, in your new home. But one thing I would talk about, Roger, if you have to go back again now and repair that joint tape one more time, I would suggest that you or whoever does that cut that tape out and replace it with a fiberglass mesh tape. That way, even if it gets some moisture on it, it's not going to swell up and pull the paint and do all those nasty things that you're dealing with or have dealt with. If it's not doing it now and you're just noticing or your wife is just noticing that the moisture continues to collect there, then don't sweat messing with the drywall tape. But David, you actually put some fans in your new home, did you not, to address that problem?
I did. I actually, the exhaust fans, first of all, and I did, Roger, I put them in the shower because they're designed for wet locations. It goes right over. I put them right over top of the shower and the master, right over the bathtub in one of the bathrooms. And then the other bathroom, we kind of straddled the shower and the toilets right outside it. So it'll do the job that it needs to do. We tiled our showers and all the way to the ceiling. That was in the master. We actually tiled the ceiling as well, but John was talking about what I did was I bought an oscillating fan, and we installed this was done obviously while we were building the house, but we installed an outlet up high outside the shower, and I bought a fan that mounts on the wall. So when we get out of the shower, we leave the exhaust fan on. We put them all on timers, by the way. And then this fan, you can just hit the remote and you can adjust this fan. You can turn it on and it blows into the shower and it dries our tile. It dries it out. And so far, so good. It stayed nice. We only did that in the master because that's the one that gets used the most.
Now, is the exhaust fan in the shower as well?
It is. Both of them are. Both. There's two bathrooms that I put them right above the right in the shower. Mm-hmm.
Is it a stall shower?
The master is, and then it's a bathtub in the other.
Okay.
And then we have another exhaust fan because we have in the other bathroom, we have a separate area for the toilet. So.
Okay. And well, maybe I'll send you an email and ask you for recommendations on the brand type that you might use that would be appropriate.
Sure.
Area.
Most of them are good for damp locations. You just got to make sure. And we use Panasonic.
Okay. One other really quick question, and I'll let you go. I'm taking a lot of your time here. I've got some squeaky door hinges. What do you recommend to take care of that? Is it an oil product or a graphite product? Or
this is a great segue to our tip of the week, but we would recommend a Teflon product.
Okay.
Blaster, I think Blaster is the one that I'm familiar with, available at the Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Teflon, almost like spray paint would be in a can. So it's got a vehicle, which is like an alcohol, and you spray it in, it delivers a film of Teflon that stays after the alcohol dries. It doesn't collect dust like an oil product would. It doesn't leave the black nasties like graphite does. And it's very, very effective.
Right. And quick tip on that. If you've got the time, loosen the hinge pin up, tap it out just a little bit, and then hold a rag at the hinge and spray it.
Okay.
Because there is already metal dust, graphite in there, and it's going to run down your doors, and it'll spray, and it'll also blast it onto the walls if you're not careful, if you do it with the door completely open. So just pay attention to that when you spray it, and a little goes a long way. But if you lift that hinge pin up, it's going to go down inside the knuckles of the hinge.
Great. Thank you, guys. You guys are a wealth of knowledge. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate your call, Roger.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Roger.
Thanks so much. All right. Let's talk to Jim. Good morning, Jim. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How can we help you this morning?
Yes.
Or you have some thoughts on water heaters. Go ahead.
Roger calling about the Renai.
Yes.
I have a Renai R75 LSI. It was installed around Thanksgiving 2009. I didn't know that it's supposed to be flushed every year. Piedmont Gas installed it back when I had it installed.
Mm-hmm.
And in January 2019, a little over 9 years later, I woke up one morning and had a cold shower. So I called up and they sent a guy out. This is the thing he needs to be careful with, is if they don't know how to deal with a water heater that's not, standard round, holds water, instant heat up type, some guys don't know how to fix them or even drain them.
Correct.
Yeah. He said he was going to get somebody from Renai. Yeah, he said he was going to get a Renai certified tech. So that was a very smart move.
And evidently in the 9 years that I had it, there was only really two people using it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
My son came home from the military and has lived with us a couple of years since he got out of the military. And so then it bumped up to three. But for his, nine years with just two people using it, I thought that was pretty good.
It's great.
They actually did it twice that year in 2019. And then they suggested I do it every year. The cost was somewhere around $180, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of it came from because the stuff they have to put through it is kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's several gallons of it I think they use. It doesn't take any more, about half an hour, 45 minutes for them to do it.
Right.
And it's good to be there. But I've still got the Renai. It's a great product, I think. And my brother-in-law is a retired master plumber, and he's the one suggesting it. So,
yep. It's a great product. We, over the many years, have been very fond. There's other great products out there. Don't get us wrong, but certainly Renai is a good one. Jim, we are right up against the break, so we're gonna thank you for that guidance and feedback. Hope that Roger was listening, because I think you validated very well the points that he had and made. So, thanks for the call. Always appreciate good input. Stay safe, Jim. All right, we're going to take a break, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Get your calls ready. We're going to take a little break here and be back to answer more important home improvement questions after all of these important messages.
Mike Doan, WBT News.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines available, 704-570-1110. David, we still got to talk about a cool, well, it's not a new product, but one I want people thinking about as we go into the spring, especially when the pollen ends, and also about our tip of the week from so many years ago. We got great lead into it from Roger, but first we're going to talk to Diane. Diane, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning. Just fine, sir.
How can we help, Diane?
We have a shed and on our property built in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
We've kept it painted. We've changed the trim boards on the corners twice. And now the boards that are on the door that's also trim work,
uh-huh.
they're getting very rotten, and we're mm-hmm. going to have them replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to make a decision on is whether we should go ahead and bite the bullet and have siding put on
mm-hmm.
or just continue to paint. My concern is, of course, the cost,
mm-hmm.
the also that what's happening underneath the floor we cannot see, so we don't know what all is happening on the bottom. And I just wanted to get advice from you folks.
Okay. Well, so you said, should you bite the bullet and put siding on it? What's on it now? I'm tracking with you on the trim boards, Diane, but what is the rest of it?
I don't know what kind of wood to call it.
It's got big chips in it, like big
they
pieces?
They used to have it and use it. I don't know if they still use it or not. It is just...
Is it sheets or is it pieces,
it's
laps?
It's a big sheet.
Okay.
Okay.
T111.
But it is designed so it looks like
it's wood.
Boards going
yeah.
down.
Going yeah. up and down, right?
Called
yes.
T111.
Yeah, T111 or Airbnb. Yep. All right, we got it. So, and is that functionally, is that fundamentally in good shape?
Yes, sir. We did on one okay. side have to add an additional trim board at the bottom just because some rot had occurred in one corner that
mm-hmm.
we were not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't matter that there's two trim boards down on the bottom now rather than just one.
Right, right.
Okay. So I think, David, we would say if you're going to continue to have to deal with the trim boards, if the siding's in good order, and it sounds like it's wood, not a composite product like a press board, then you don't want to spend a bunch of money on that, you can probably get away with just another really good coat of paint. David, you may even talk about like cedar side on some of that stuff.
Sure.
But if you're doing trim boards, Diane, they make a PVC trim board. You could also get a fiber cement trim board, but it's just not as easy to work with as the vinyl or PVC product, and replace those trim boards one more time as you need to. They can be painted. They're structural. And then they will never rot again.
Right.
And David, and I can tell you got some thoughts on the siding and stuff also, right?
Yeah, the cedar shield is ideally what you would want to do is to get a coat of that on the whole building. Even if you replace the trim with PVC, just spray the siding down with that product and let it set for 72 hours, and then you paint right over it. And what that does, Diane, is it stops the wood from accepting water. It won't absorb in, so if it can't absorb in, it can't rot. It stabilizes the wood is what it does.
And tell me the name of that product again so I can ask about it.
Cedar Shield. You have to order it. And if you go to our website, we actually have it under our products page. And you can just click on the link and go from right there.
All right.
And you can order it. And I think they're having a spring, maybe a spring sale right now. If you sign up for their newsletters, a lot of times there's some type of a discount. I'm sure as soon as you go on there, it's going to be a 10% discount right off the bat.
And it wouldn't be a problem for handyman companies to use that?
Oh, no, it's very, very simple to use. You can brush it or spray it out of a spray bottle, whatever. I just suggested if you use any type of spray equipment that you clean it immediately with soap and water after you're done, or it won't be any good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we just needed that advice, and we respect you a lot. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the kind words and thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
Thanks,
Goodbye.
Diane. Bye-bye. All right, off we go. Fix the shed. Quick before we get another call at 704-570-1110, two things. David, one is in 2016, we thought that no sticks tricks was the blurb. Whoever thought that stuff up was insane. But getting a key stuck in a door lock or a lock mechanism that keeps sticking, before you get out the oil can, we said, stop and ask yourself, do I want to keep this from sticking for a long time? If the answer is yes, we recommended graphite.
Graphite.
And the survey says?
It's still a good idea. It's a little messy. They have it in a spray can now.
Right. And so the question I had was, and that was why I said Roger's comments were a great segue, would Teflon not be in that application?
I think it probably would be fine. I've been the locks on my truck, and I haven't had any trouble with them.
Yeah.
So my glass on the back of my cap on my truck, in the wintertime, sometimes water will get in it and freeze.
Yep.
Which I haven't had to deal with that since I lived in the great state of Michigan.
Michigan.
So.
All right. So graphite, fine. Spray can, easier to use. I used to have a little thing in my toolbox, looked like a little miniature tube of toothpaste that you would kind of squirt in there. But I would argue that the Teflon, the blaster Teflon, it's got a little, the little plastic thing like WD-40 does, has to shoot it into the lock mechanism. And we're saying that's cleaner and certainly a good solution. So we don't have to debunk our advice. We can simply enhance it. All right. Let's talk to – we're past the break, aren't
yes.
we? Shoot. Okay, we're going to take a break. Way past the break. Bill, don't go away. We see you out there. We're going to take your call when we return from these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines open, 704-570-1110. Your sure path to – information, entertainment, and longevity. What? Sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, are you writing a book? Or are you going to write?
I'm going to write a book. Adjectives that don't apply to me. it's a lexicon. Here comes Bill. Bill, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Actually, it's Phil, and I've been painting for 48 years.
Look, you'll get over it. Don't sweat it, man.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, there's some things that people don't know about paint.
There's a lot of things people don't know about paint, and that probably includes me. Tell us what you're thinking about.
Well, the reason why paint will last and won't last is how it coagulates. So when it's drying, that is the most important part of your paint job, especially on exterior. Because on exterior, if it's too hot, it dries too fast, it coagulates wrong, and it's going to peel. If what you want is a longer dry time, you want it to be cool, and the cooler the better. Now, most cans of paint say you have to be 50 to 55 before you can paint. But if you talk to a paint rep, they will tell you, as long as it's above freezing, it's okay.
Right.
Now, painters will hate you if they ask. If you ask them to paint when it's freezing, but you do not want to paint when it's 90 degrees or in direct sunlight.
Right.
Bingo.
It's just very important because if it takes a long time for your paint to dry on the outside, it will last that much longer.
And, Bill, that kind of lines up because we haven't talked about it so much lately, but we talked about the ceramic technology that was available in paint and how that basically is like a molecular sort of, I'm not sure I'm going to define it right, kind of lineup of in the paint. And it seems to me that if you give that an appropriate or protracted drying time, then the likelihood of all that doing the right stuff is greater. Does that sound about right?
That is right.
Great. So I think what I'm hearing you say, like we might not remember all of the details of the coagulation and so on, but temperature, cooler's better, and absolutely got to follow the instructions on the paint can, because that's and you remember that you say it's between 50 and 55 is what it says on the can.
Well, I have dodged paint bullets, rain bullets, and every other kind of bullet. but the cooler it is, the better. And I think, quite honestly, I think the can is wrong. According to the paint manufacturers, as long as it's above freezing, 50 to 55, it's just on the can to protect the paint company.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You think that has a lot to do with the cure time? I say that back to, it's kind of like concrete, you know, concrete that stays wet longer is actually a better product in the end.
I painted a apartment complex in L.A. back in the 90s, and it was very, very cold in the evening, and we sprayed 40 gallons all day long, two of us, and that night, everything froze, and the paint ended up all on the ground. So you don't want to be painting late in the afternoon at
right.
the night where it's going to freeze.
Right.
Yeah.
But
or
as
do.
Long as, as long as it stays above freezing level, you'll be okay.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, you know, we talk about that all the time about following the sun. You know, you want to start on the where it's cooler in the morning on that west side if you're going to paint all day, but it sounds like you guys get out there early and get started and then knock off a little earlier in the day.
Well, if you know about painters in Arizona, they start about 4 in the morning and go until about almost noon and then stop.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because it gets you
way too
hot.
People try to do that too. All right. Good information. Bill, thank you for taking the time. I trust that you've got plenty going on in your life, so we're grateful that you took the time to dial us up and give us some good guidance.
I'm painting as we speak in Lake Wylie.
All right, man.
Thanks,
well, pay
Bill.
Attention. Thanks, Bill.
All right, bye.
Bye. You got to love it, man. You just got to love it. All right. Let's see. Am I going to get past time here?
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of time.
We got plenty of time. Let's talk to Frank. Good morning, Frank. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Hey, so I've got a question about siding. I have two questions. One, thinking about using a hardy board cement siding versus like an LP siding. Any recommendations one way or the other on that?
David, you've used both, right?
I have. I chose, because I installed it myself, I chose the smart side by LP.
Yeah.
A couple of reasons, really multiple reasons. One, I didn't have to deal with any dust. I just didn't want to deal with it. Two, I was working pretty much by myself on a lot of occasions. And even if I had some help, a good friend of mine, retired police officer, David, came over and helped. And he was my saw man and was handing boards up. Pretty tough with Hardy. Hardy tends to break and snap. And it's that was my biggest issue with it in the dust. So I went with the LP. It comes in 16-foot lengths versus 12, so you cover more area with the board. Cost was really never a factor, although I think the LP comes out a little bit cheaper. And it's just a nice product, but I tell you, all of them, you have to follow the directions. So make sure you take the time, prime the ends of it. I just used actual paint primer, and it worked out pretty well.
So another question, we've got like T111 on, plywood panels on now.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was painted a couple of years ago. Just now we had an addition and we're going a different way with siding. Any reason I can't go over that with this?
Not really. You just want to make sure that it's for T111 is about the only siding, any 4x8 siding, I would go over it.
Right.
You have to extend your jams on your windows. You're probably going to have to remove your trim and install a thicker trim so that the siding, because you need at least a 1-inch thick trim so that when you lap your siding boards, they don't stick out past your trim because it looks awful when you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the work. So there's a trade-off. But if you don't want to pull that down, you can go over it, but you do need to extend your trim, and you probably need to change your corner styles. And I think other than that, you'll be in pretty good shape. You probably want to put a freeze board, figure out where your siding is going to end at the top, and then you'll fill in with an adequate freeze board at the top.
And would you still use a house wrap over that, or would you just go over it?
I think you probably I think I would have to ask an engineer that question. I would be concerned about it. I never have run into that where we've covered up anything. In the past, when we've done siding, we always strip it off, whether it be vinyl or whatever. I like to strip the house down, take a good look at everything, and make sure, you know, if you're putting a 50-year siding up, you don't want to cover up any rot. You know, it's the same thing we tell people when you're doing a roof. You know, don't put a 50-year roof over rotten plywood.
Yeah.
So
I'm a roofer. Yeah, I agree.
I just think you get such a better job when you do that. You know, even metal roofing, and people say, "Oh, well, we don't take the shingles off," and I'm like, "Why?"
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Take it off and look and make sure everything's good.
Make sure it's flat and smooth and
absolutely
and ready,
especially with that kind of investment. So
exactly.
But other than that, man, if you have any other questions, you can send us a note to askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button.
Great. Thank you for your help.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Frank. All right. Stay safe and well. Here comes a little bit of break. So we're going to take a break. 704-570-1110 is the number to get you back in after the break. We're happy to take your calls when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Let's talk to Dawn. Dawn, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
I had a question about painting siding. My mom bought a new house, and she doesn't like the color of the siding.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been considering having the house painted. So my question was, like, what's the best type of product to use when having the house painted? Because she's had a couple of people talk to her about it. And one, I believe, is I'm not sure if I can say it on air as far as the brand of it, but I think it's
brand.
So I will give you a personal, professional, and unashamedly and unapologetic endorsement for Behr Marquee Paint.
Okay.
I work for the Home Depot. I have for 29 years. I used Behr paint before I worked for the Home Depot. Personally, I work with professionals who use that product all day, every day. And on this very show, we've had people call with questions. Hey, can you come out, check something out? It didn't work. Our local rep is the same rep that we had when I was a store manager in the Pineville store in 1994. Still takes care of customers. It's not the cheapest paint. And you're going to find painters who may have special things with special folks, but if you want a product that I would personally, professionally tell you is awesome, that would be the one.
Okay.
David, you have used other products and they're good. I'm not knocking it, but if you're saying, hey, what are we going to put on here and be done with it, that's great. There's other Premium Plus products that are comparably good, but And I shouldn't even say but. And so that would be my recommendation. And now, David, I guess what would we call that? Equal time or whatever.
Well, yeah, and I just finished building my house, Dawn, and we did paint it, and we liked the color of the paint, so we didn't have to change it. But we did use Behr paint inside and out. The only thing that we used different was we used a new paint from Sherwin-Williams on our interior trim at the advice of a decorator, and we're extremely happy with the paint. And I've used Behr paint for a long time, and I used Glidden, I've used all of them, and all of them are pretty good. I just happened to choose the Behr paint. I've been using it lately, and we like it. Okay. It's a good
and
product.
So that's good for outside vinyl. And how long should that last?
You're putting this over vinyl siding?
Vinyl siding?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So here's the key to painting vinyl. First of all, it needs to be clean. You do need to use an acrylic paint, a latex paint, a good quality paint. Bear falls in that category. What we will tell you is do not have tell her not to use a very dark color. You cannot go dark with vinyl paint, vinyl siding over or paint over vinyl siding.
It's gonna pick up and hold heat, and vinyl expands and contracts. It has one of the highest coefficients of linear expansion of siding products, so it'll cause problems for you.
So stay in the lighter to neutral colors. And I think with that said, I think you're probably fine.
Okay. All right. So bare paint and latex vinyl. And no dark colors.
There you go.
All righty. Well, I will let her know that information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Dawn.
All right, have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Let's get...
Yeah, we have time.
Fred. I don't know why. It's like my first time managing a clock in 26 years. Fred, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How you guys?
Stellar.
Hey, I'm going to replace my windows on my house. It was built in 92, and they're deteriorating. And, you know, there's so many companies out there and so many different offers, you know, buy one, get one, that kind of thing, and so much difference in quality. I'm just wondering if you guys have any tips or recommendations or even company recommendations on that subject.
So there's 1,000 things we would love to tell you about replacement windows, Fred. I will tell you, if you just want a simple answer, and David, I think you would agree with me on this, there's many great manufacturers out there. Simonton is one that we really like. And there's different versions of that window, and so that's where we would start to spend, you know, hours and hours talking about U-value and air infiltration, and then also the size of the jamb. But if you're looking for a window that has that you're going to have a quality manufacturer that'll stand behind the product, Simonton is a pretty good product. Anderson has some replacement windows out there, I believe. Anderson is another company that stands behind their product really, really well. That's the kind of the product or manufacturer stuff to think about. I think American Craftsman, David, is actually owned by Anderson now. So I think you get, again, same kind of backing if that's the route you choose to go. David, what about from an installation perspective?
Well, yeah, that's the other portion of it. Almost all windows, all windows today meet the energy code. So, and the only difference you're going to probably find is between double pane and triple pane.
Right.
We're not in a cold enough climate for a triple pane. The only reason I would suggest those is if you live down a busy road. And you might want to do the side of the house that faces the road with the triple pane, and then the rest of it's probably a thermal pane, two panes of glass.
Gotcha.
The installation, you just want to make sure who you're dealing with and how long have they been installing windows. There's the ceiling aspect of it. They usually use a low expansion foam. That's what you want. Some people, and this is probably a really good idea, will drill through the existing wood frame and shoot a little foam in there. They'll drill multiple holes in the frame and fill, because if the house is older, it doesn't meet today's energy standards because they didn't foam then. They used to stuff insulation, and they would, you know, take a screwdriver or a putty knife and jam it back in there. Well, it tends to draft stop a little bit, but not as well as foam does. So that's a question that you may want to ask. And then I guess the other question I would ask is do you have wood? You have wood windows now?
Yes.
And are the frames in pretty good shape?
No, that's really where the deterioration.
Okay,
is.
Okay, so I think you're beyond a replacement window. I want to say a couple of things, John. I think we should.
Yeah, let's take. Yeah. We're past the break time here. Fred, hang tight for a second. I'm not doing a good job managing the clock this morning. We're going to put you on hold. We'll make sure we get you squared up. And the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to jump right back to Fred. Thank you for waiting through the break, Fred. David, you were kind of going through the installation piece of it and were concerned, I think, with the frames, right?
I am. So that kind of determines where you go, what shape the actual frames of the windows. So just for our listeners real quick, we'll go through the anatomy of a window. So you have the sashes, that's the windows that go up and down. You have the balances, that's the tracks that the windows slide in, that's where the springs are. And then you have a window frame on the outside. You have brick mold. And then you have a sill, which is the bottom of the window. And then the nosing, which sticks out the furthest point at the bottom of them. If it's just the brick mold that's rotten, it can be replaced. Okay? And that can be replaced with wood or PVC. I would put PVC in there even if I was going to cover it with aluminum around the outside. The sill and the nosing can also be replaced. There's a little bit of effort involved in that, but it's not a huge deal to do that. Now, if you get into the jams, the frame of the window, the part that the balances mount to and the windows slide up and down in, if they're rotten, if they're real bad, then that determines that the window will probably need to be completely removed, which entails removing the trim on the inside, taking all of that loose, and then cutting all of the caulk loose around your siding or brick, removing that frame from the window, and then a new window is installed in that opening. Has anyone looked at your windows in that depth to see how?
Well, I had one company come out, and I won't name the company, but there's so many companies out there, and they mm-hmm. make so many different kinds of offers, and there's so much difference in
right, quality. Right,
yeah.
But so did
the deterioration and damage. A lot of it's sill and nosing, a few of the windows, these are true lights. And so, the actual wood windows, so mm-hmm. I'm
sure
some rotting, in some of that.
Yeah, that's not a problem because they're going away. What we're concerned with is brick mold, the jams of the window and the
damage to the brick mold, not really too much to individual sashes, but I'm sort of wanting to not separate the installation from the purchase because
that's not the reason we're talking about them independently, Fred. You should get the product from the installer almost all the time simply because you want to make sure that they have a vested interest and stand behind it as well.
Exactly.
We're simply talking about the aspects of the project so you understand the product aspect and then make sure whoever's doing it isn't putting a good product into a bad scenario.
Exactly. And you don't in almost all cases in vinyl replacement windows in I'm going to give a quick definition of this. A vinyl replacement window was designed to go into a wood frame such as what you're talking about, Fred.
Right.
I see people out installing these windows, and we'll talk about that after this call, but in areas they shouldn't install them. But if the frame can be salvaged or you can replace or repair the exterior components that are in bad shape, even stabilizing them with the cedar shield. I don't know if you've ever heard us talk about that, but that will stop that rot in its tracks. So whoever you end up choosing to do this, they can easily spray this product on there as they're working and put multiple coats, and then they can fill it if they choose to. But then once we know there's no rot, then you can install this vinyl replacement window, and then they can wrap the outside components with either window trim kit, our friends over at Window Trim Kit in Shelby, that's all vinyl, or you can get a vinyl aluminum coated or a vinyl coated aluminum that they bend and shape and will cover all of the exterior parts. Therefore, you don't have to worry about rot. You don't have to worry about paint anymore, just pretty much a cleaning. A couple times a year.
Yeah, Do you have any particular companies that you recommend?
And
I know Home Depot obviously does.
They do, and I've got a couple of smaller contractors, and if you want to send us a note to our website, I'll get you connected with those folks.
Sounds perfect. What's that?
AskJohnAndDave.com and just look for the questions button.
Gotcha. Hey, thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Fred. Appreciate the call. Hey, David, two things real quick. One thing I gotta say, because, you know, I gave this unequivocal endorsement of Bear. I have an unfair advantage. I have been involved in what we refer to as a Bear challenge. And that is a double-blind test of the product, application, drawdown, coverage, all that stuff, against pretty much any brand I think you can name, right? And I have never lost a Bear challenge where Bear has outperformed and come in less expensive. Now, I'm doing this with large professional customers, right? So there, you save, you know, 6 cents a gallon or whatever the, you know, the metric is, X per job times every how many jobs. I mean, that's a major thing. Never lost it. One time a customer chose to go with a different product just because they said, I'm just going to do it. I know what your data says. I'm just going to do this. So cool. That's good. That's a beautiful thing about living in this country. One of them. So I do want to be careful to say, hey, I have an unfair advantage, and I'm simply sharing that unfair advantage with y'all.
I've seen it. Hey, I've seen this paint, and I know how it holds up. So I'm right with you.
I just want to be careful that people don't think I'm doing some kind of infomercial or something. I'm taking, I don't know. Anyway, I just want to be very, very transparent and very honest with that. And I did talk about two other products. Speaking of transparent, watch what I do here. Anderson Full View Storm Door. One of the projects for spring, and we talked a lot about paint, but there's so many things that we still want to talk about. And we'll do it next week. No worries, God willing. But the Anderson Full View Storm Door, I think Home Depot is doing a little special thing on that. Love that full view, and love the fact that it's an Anderson product. We just talked about Simonton. We talked about Anderson. Talking about some really good brands here. And again, that's not to say that that's exclusively the only option. There's a lot of things to consider. But when I get these lists, and I started paying attention to them, I confess, I had a lot of good information, and I didn't always pay attention. That probably surprises you, David. but when I get this list and it's like got a special price or it's a special deal and it's a quality product like that at the Home Depot, then I do want to call that stuff out. So I just want to make sure I snuck that in.
No, absolutely. It's good stuff. No doubt about it.
All right. Wow. Holy moly.
I know it's over. Whew. I want to, and remind me next week.
I'll put it on here. Go ahead.
Let's talk about, I want to talk about when you use a vinyl replacement window and when you don't.
Yeah.
Yes, because I've been involved in a couple of messes that people have been in, and a vinyl replacement window is not meant for every opening. So we just want to.
You're kidding me.
Just want to educate and make sure people know, because, you know, what do they say when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
When your only solution is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. Yeah. Totally, totally get it. Good advice. And I think you and I have talked about that. So that's great. I just made it in my notes. I will make sure that it's top of agenda for our call or for our show the week of, next week, the 26th, I think. It'll be 23rd or something like that. All right. We are out of time, folks. Thank you so much for all the great calls, all the great comments and feedback today from both consumers and professionals. We're really grateful for you guys. And being able to do this with you every single week. We also want to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.